If you want to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, amen. We're going to start tonight at verse 9. We're going to look at this, tie this together, and try to just mind the Lord and look at His goodness and His mercy. Amen. Tonight we're looking at, we're going to be looking in just a minute at the triangle, what we call triangle of salvation. Amen. I want you to notice, I'll show you when we get started this thing. A triangle ain't a triangle if you don't have all three sides. Amen. So if you're missing a side, then you won't have a triangle. So therefore it's not going to be what it's supposed to be. Amen. Same way with our salvation. If we miss one aspect of salvation, then our salvation won't be what it needs to be for God's glory. So we don't want to miss out any aspects of salvation. We want to get in and be partakers in all the goodness of God, because it's all a blessing from God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 9, we're going to leave verses 9 through 11 and 19 and 20. And then we'll go from there and tie this in tonight. The Bible says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" It says, "Be not deceived." And he tells us here that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we'll have no inheritance in God's kingdom. Amen. And he says us not to be deceived, because these people are not going to be there. Hello? Now, we live in a day and era we think we can do anything we want to, because we know Jesus, and one day we're just going to fly off into heaven. I want to say, if you know Jesus, not in your head but in your heart, you won't do those things that it says here that'll keep you out of heaven. Amen. You'll change your direction so that you'll be assured and assured of being in heaven. Amen. It says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now then, a whole lot of them right there are sexual sins. Things we do outside of marriage. Now I want to say, God ordained the sexual relationship, the intimate relationship between a man and a woman for the marriage relationship. Anything outside that is wrong. Amen? Amen. You hear me, you young people, it's wrong. Amen. You're supposed to save yourself for marriage. He said, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." All this has to do with covetousness, wanting something that ain't yours, amen, and even going through a place of drunken stupor because you can't have it. That's what's wrong with the world. That's why most people end up being drunks and drug addicts, alcoholics, because they want something, they can't get it, so they just turn to the drugs and the alcohol to forget about thinking about what they'd like to have, amen. And so he goes on here, he said, "shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you." Amen? He said, we were in this kind of condition. We were headed this way if we didn't get there. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So here's what we was looking at last week. We were looking at the justification, the regeneration, and the sanctifying power of God. Amen? What He's done for us. We see in verse 19, jump over to verse 19, he says, "What? Now watch this. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you," amen, "which you have of God, and you are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see this tonight in we're going to talk about this triangle of salvation. We see God Almighty working in it. Amen? So we see we talked about the other night, the last time we met, we talked about the three aspects of salvation. Those three aspects of salvation. Does anybody remember what they were? Come on. Sanctification, regeneration, justification. So it's justification, regeneration, and sanctification would be a better order, okay? Justification, that's the top three lines there. Justification, the three aspects of salvation is justification, regeneration, and sanctification. Now, justification is that being brought to the place of Christ and found guilty, but justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as if we had never committed offense. Amen? Regeneration is being born again, amen, born new with the newness of life in our heart. The old man dies out and the new man comes alive. Amen. And sanctification is putting on that new man. Amen. Allowing Christ to work in us, the work of sanctification. Amen. So we see tonight in this, we see the triangle of salvation. Now, if you've got your little drawing there, I tried to draw this out for you this afternoon. So while these was printing out, I thought, well, the Lord just put it on my heart. I said, a picture's worth a thousand words. So what I want to do is just look at this picture tonight. So what you have, starting on the bottom, you have the foundation. Now, what is the foundation that Christians build upon? There's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we build on that foundation. So if you set that triangle of salvation on the foundation of Christ, you have justification, regeneration, and sanctification with Jesus in the middle of it. See, sometimes I think what we want to do, we want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we want to try to do these things without the Lord. It don't work that way. You say, well, preacher, would we really try? Yeah, because I tried to do it for a long time. Amen? It don't work good. You try to be good. You try to do right. You try to be, you accept the justification, and then the regeneration, you get over this way a little bit, and then something will pull you back over this little way, and then the sanctifying, you say, my regeneration ain't working real good because I ain't really sanctified like I should, and you get called in the tug of war of this old flesh. Amen? But we got to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has to be the center of it all for it to work. And when a triangle set up right and the base is set on the foundation, praise God, guess where the point's pointing to? Heaven. Amen. It's pointed towards salvation. And salvation is God. Don't you like my little cloud? Amen. So we see that when we get this thing come together, it points to salvation. It points to that faith that we have in Lord Jesus Christ that gets us pointed and headed in the right direction. Now that's what we got to do. What's missing in the last days that we live is we're not getting people justified, regenerated, and sanctified, headed in the right direction. Amen. There's a whole group out here that's trying to get people in, and they're going to door to door. They're beating on doors, and they're getting people in. They're making them members of the church, and they're sending them out. Amen? To do what? To go out and get more members. Amen? So they get all kinds of little old games and gimmicks going on that these people take out to use to encourage them to come in. Amen. That's what we're doing. That's why you got great old big mega churches now. They're getting bigger and bigger and they're growing, but there's none of this in them. Amen. There's nothing about salvation. Amen. There's nothing about being rooted and grounded in Lord Jesus Christ. It's just knowing who He is and going to work. Amen. Without an act of the Holy Ghost of God to save them and put them in. Amen. I tell you what, if the Holy Ghost of God don't put them in, it won't take much to drag them out. Amen. Amen. So you see salvation, you see a point to salvation, God's heaven, and you see God the Father, and you see God the Son on His right hand. Amen. He's that mediator. He's our interceder. He's our go-between. What I want you to see in this, if you don't get nothing else, is that we need Jesus on the foundation. We need Jesus in the work. We need Jesus on the way to heaven. And we need Jesus in heaven to be our intercessor. Amen? What I want to see now is we need Jesus in every aspect of our life if we're going to make it to heaven. If we're going to be what He wants us to be, man, we have to make Him the Lord of our lives. Supreme. Because He's the only one that can be in all these places. That's why Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm going to be with you as your foundation. He said, I'm going to be with you in your salvation. And he said, I'm going to set me to be the mediator for you at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He said, I know the feeling of your infirmities, your weakness, your lack of strength. And when you're weak and don't have no strength, I'm going to be your strength for you. Amen. And he can be when he's the when he's that biggest part of us. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He's sitting there. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested in due time. Amen. I'd say probably most of our lives is putting him to the test every day. Amen. When he looks down at you and I and he says, my goodness, what are they doing? Huh? Said, there they go again. He reached out with the Holy Ghost of God and he reigns a sin. Amen. He praised the Father. He said, I just plead the blood, Father. Amen. Just plead the blood. Praise God. In Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. 7:24. It says, but this man, he talked about the priest, how they've been priests, but they've not suffered to continue by reason of death. And Brother Charles and Brother Rex have been teaching on the chapter 7 for a month, I guess. But he says, but in verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. An unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. The guttermost part was mine. The uttermost part's his. Amen. That come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God is sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight to make intercession for you and I. So as you see in this little drawing here, I know it's not much, but I hope it helps you to see that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes every essence of our being, ever part of our relationship has to be Him, or we won't make it to heaven. Amen. It'd be bad to try to get out of this world by yourself. You won't do it. It won't work. Amen. So the triangle of salvation. It is the combination of salvation. Kind of like an old combination lock. If you got the right combination, it'll let you in. C-O-M-B-I-N-A-T-I-O-N. The combination of salvation. It's that unlocks our hearts. That unlocks, U-N-L-O-C-K-S, unlocks our hearts. Amen? In justification. Now I know you say, well, preacher, we already covered this. Yeah, but we won't look at this in the essence of Christ being an ever part of it. We looked at it separately together, but we won't look at it as Christ being in the biggest part of it and Him being in us. In justification, God is the judge. J-U-D-G-E. God is the judge. And Christ is our advocate. A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E. Advocate. Brother Robert, you got 1 John 3 and 4. Okay, so there's your answer. Sin is the transgression of the law. Amen. In other words, it transgresses or goes against what God says. Hello? I want to say what God says is still what God says. It don't matter what Joe out here says, well, you know, I believe this. It don't matter what Joe believes. It's what God says that makes a difference. Amen. We can't go by what Joe says or Flo says or anybody else says. We got to go by what God says. And I want to say God don't change His mind. Amen. His Word is sure and steadfast. It abideth forever. Amen. It don't change. It don't change just because we don't like something that it says. Because our lifestyle doesn't fit to what God's Word says. We can't change the Word to fit a lifestyle. We have to change our lifestyle to fit His Word. Hello? Amen. Amen. That's right. It is right. The law. The atonement is God's satisfaction. Amen. Atonement is God's satisfaction. S-A-T-I-S-F-A-C-T-I-O-N. Atonement is God's satisfaction. Amen. Repentance is the answer of conviction. Now, people don't like that at all. But repentance is the answer of conviction. C-O-N-V-I-C-T-I-O-N. Conviction. Amen. We don't want to hear about repentance no more. I mean, these people even teaching, men now that stand up and writing books and saying, well, you know what? I've figured out from the Word of God that you don't have to repent no more. Amen. But he shouldn't have stopped there. He said, but I've also figured out you don't need to repent no less. Amen. Because when conviction comes upon you, had a young man, if I'd said his name, probably most of you would know him. Went on Facebook, I guess been about a year ago now, and said, well, you know, I figured out that, if I wanted to drink a beer or do this or do that, that was bothering, it shouldn't really bother me like that. I'm saved, I love the Lord, and I can do what I want to. Amen? What he was doing is saying, well, that the reason it bothered him, it was conviction. But he said, what he was saying is, I don't need to pay attention to conviction. Amen. I'm saved and that's all that I need to be. I want to say if without conviction, the Bible said that you're not the sons of God. He said you're bastards and not sons. He said you're illegitimate. You're trying to get in, but you're not. Amen. So it takes repentance, amen. Repentance is the answer of conviction. When conviction sets in, when we do something we oughtn't to do, we say, Lord God, I'm sorry. Amen. That's a godly sorrow. Now, there is a worldly sorrow because you got caught. You know, somebody says, hey, I seen you down there at the beer joint the other night. Huh? And then you go out and say, oh, goodness, and come to church and two or three of people that was there when he told you that. You get in there and you get up there and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry because you got caught. Amen? But that's not godly sorrow. That's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is when it breaks your heart that you messed up and you broke the heart of God. Amen. So you have a repentance. Amen. Repentance is the answer to conviction. Acceptance is pardon or remission. P-A-R-D-O-N. Acceptance. When you repent and acceptance into repentance, amen, is pardon. A remission. God takes that sin, takes it away from you. Amen. True repentance, Brother Kevin, means that we say, Lord, forgive me of doing it. We turn our back on it and we never go there again. Hello? Worldly sorrow, we say, Lord, I'm sorry, but next week, Friday night, we're back in that same old place. Amen. Doing the same old wicked thing. That's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow, praise God, our heart's broken because we broke the heart of God and our heart won't let us go back there because our heart is trusting the Lord. Because He knows what's best. Amen. The Spirit's witness is of pardon. Amen. The Spirit's witness, W-I-T-N-E-S-S, is a witness of pardon. Amen. The Spirit wants us to be received to the Father. The Spirit wants us to be in good standing with the Father. So His witness, praise God, His witness is to bring us back, to pardon us, to get us forgiveness, to get us to a place of forgiveness. Amen. The Holy Ghost, God don't bring stuff to you just to beat you up. He brings you, no, not to just frustrate you. He brings you to places, shows you things so that you can get right, so you can rejoice in your soul. Because what God's doing, amen. Praise the Lord. The Christian life is a life of obedience. O-B-E-D-I-N-C-E. The Christian life is a life of obedience. And it's, and I put the Christian life here because I want to know what it is. The Christian life. Perfection, the fulfillment, perfection, P-E-R-F-E-C-T-I-O-N. The fulfillment of the law of righteousness. Amen. Melissa, you got Romans 6:16. Amen. So you know what you know. You know not that what you should yield to yourselves unto servants to obey. That's who you're servants of. Whoever you're obeying, whether it be the devil in the world or the Lord Jesus Christ, God. Amen. He said, "Ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So, how do you be right with God? Just obey Him. Amen. The biggest secret to being right in the eyes of God, righteous before God, is to just be obedient to God. Amen. To obey God. That's a secret of righteousness. Amen. So praise the Lord. Number two, salvation is also a new life in Christ. It's a new life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is," what? "A new creature." A creation. Been created new. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That means cause to be new. Jesus calls you to be new when you accepted the blood He shed for you on Calvary. When you ask Him to forgive you your sins and come into your heart and allow Him to be your Lord, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, praise God, He changed you. You become new. You've not been remade, remold, transformed. Praise God, you've been made new on the inside. I'm afraid that's where a whole lot of people are missing salvation. They think it's some kind of a physical thing that we do, but instead of a spiritual thing that we do. Amen? It's easy to come to the altar and say, "Lord, forgive me of sin," and in your head and with your mouth, but it's a whole different story when you do it from your heart. It's spiritual. Amen. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, we've got Christ in us, that hope of glory. We become a new creation. He said, "Oh, them old things, that old lifestyle, that old manner of living." Hello? Things changed when you got saved. Amen. Now we may stray from the path and the Lord have to reign us in. But when He saves us, things ought to change in our life. Our attitude ought to change. Our relationships ought to change. Our thinking ought to change. Our mindset ought to change. Amen. It's new in Christ. Now, behold, all things are become new. Everything is different now. Amen. Since I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ and He's in me. Amen. Makes a difference. Praise the Lord. Salvation is also a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. In this new life, God is the Father, the begetter. Amen. Christ, the begotten, the offering of life. See, He said we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2. Said we were dead in our trespass sins. Amen. But if Jesus gave you life, amen, He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Praise the Lord. So Christ, the begotten, the offering of life. Sin is, what is sin? Self-will. Sin is self-will. Amen? It's what it is. Just self-will. Just doing what you will. Without any thought of God or godliness. Without any thought of Him. Without listening to Him. Without having any kind of communication with Him. Just doing what you please. That's sin. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Susan, you got that? Yeah. That's willful sinning. After we know the truth, I won't say anybody that's sat in this church for any amount of time, you know you've got enough truth, praise God, to make an informed decision. Amen. We've had enough good Sunday school classes and enough good preaching, enough good studies, enough good singing, praise God, to show us that's given us truth. And he said that if we sin willfully after that, we've received the knowledge of the truth. Amen. There's no more, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That means if we get caught up in willful sin, I pray God, we're going to stand and give account for those sins. Amen. Amen. There go the crowns out the door, out the window. Amen. When we know better, then we do it anyway, right? Sin is self-will, doing what self wants to do instead of what God tells us to do. Choosing our own will rather than that of the head of the household. Amen. The head of the household. Who is the head of the household? God. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Atonement is reconciliation. R-E-C-O-N-C-I-L-I-A-T-I-O-N. Atonement is reconciliation. That means it allows us to be reconciled unto God. See, we were alienated from God because of sin. But God has reconciled us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Acceptance. Acceptance is adoption. Amen. Glory to God. Acceptance is adoption. A-D-O-P-T-I-O-N. Acceptance. Ain't you glad you're accepted into the family of God? We've been adopted in, praise God. We who were alienated because of our sins, by our transgressions, praise God, because of Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, we've been accepted into the family, praise God. We've been adopted, counted as one of His own, praise the Lord. Amen. Renewal of life is regeneration. Renewal of life is regeneration. R-E-G-E-N-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. Regeneration. That is being born of God. Born again, amen. We would say being born again. Born from above, amen. Had a birth from heaven, praise God. Amen, praise the Lord. Our Christian life is the crucifying and mortifying, or putting to death our old nature. Crucifying and mortifying, putting to death. Paul said, "I die daily." Wow, huh? That's the Apostle Paul. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." He said, those things that would come up, praise God, that caused me to be disobedient, praise God. He said, I just die out to it. I let it be a dead thing, praise God. He said, I put to death. I don't have no part of it. I just let it die. I let it fizzle out. Let it go away. Amen. I don't partake in it. Amen. Praise God. Born again. Putting to death of the old nature, which is opposed to the new nature. Amen? It's opposed to the new nature and the raising up of the new. See, the old nature don't want the new nature to come out. The old nature will try to suppress the new nature. Amen? Paul said, there's a fight. He said, I'm contending with the flesh. He said, there's a battle going from within. Amen? So the perfection of this life is to have the perfect reflection of the image of Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Amen. So the perfection of this life is to have the perfect reflection of the image of Christ. It's Christ in us, right? First Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. That says it all right there. That completely satisfies this. Because when Christ is in you, He'll help you do all that to get you where He wants you to be. Amen? Takes care of the whole aspect of things. We see this in Romans chapter 7, where Paul was talking about this. If you look at verse 15, let me just give you a couple of these verses right quickly, what Paul said. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Amen? He said, "I'm trying to do right," but he said, "it just seems like I do wrong." Amen? He said, that I'm trying to do, the good things I'm trying to do, he said, "I just can't seem to accomplish what I won't get done." But he said, that bad stuff always it's easier to do. He goes on and adds to that in verse 19. He said, "For the good that I would, I do not." Amen? He said, "But the evil which I would not, that I do." He said, "There's a conflict always going on in me." He said, it's causing all kinds of hindrance. Amen. But he said, when the perfect life, a perfect Christian, praise God, is a life that's trying to have a perfect reflection of the image of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The Christian life is a life dedicated. Number three, Christian life is a life dedicated. DEDICATED. Dedicated to the worship and service of God. Or in other words, it's a sanctified life. Amen? A sanctified life. Miss G, do you have Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Amen. So he says, what happens here is said, and he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to born-again believers. He said, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice." He don't want cold, dead stuff. Amen? He wants a living sacrifice. Sometimes I think most of our Baptist churches are dead sacrifices. So I got up and come to church today. Praise the Lord. I made it again. Amen. But he don't want it. He wants a living sacrifice. And the one that believes, praise God, that you are a child of God. And just bring yourself and say, "Lord God, here I am. I come to worship you. Give you glory, praise God. I'm glad I could get up out of the bed. I'm glad I had a vehicle that had gas in it. I'm glad that there was a church up on a hill, up in the valley, praise God. I'm glad these people up there love me. I'm glad there's a place where I can sit in out of the weather. And I'm glad, praise God, that old-timey singing that brings glory to God. I was able to participate. I was able to hear it. I was able to get in. And then I was some good teaching and good instruction and good preaching and good shouting and good praying and good praising. Glory be to God." Amen. That's what I'm saying. That's what God's wanting. He's wanting, like we had here Sunday morning. Amen. I had to rub it in on Miss Melissa because she missed. She said, "Oh man, but boy, we had a time." But it was good. That's the way it ought to be. If we come to worship the Lord, to get in. I think, like old preacher said the other night, praise God, a lot of times we come and we turn the car around, we're pouring it out. Because we come to get out and we didn't come to get in. Amen. We come headed in the out direction, praise God, before we ever get in. Amen. We need to come park with our nose, praise God, in so that we can get in. And not worry about getting out. Praise the Lord. We'll get out of here for long. But praise God, we ought to get in while we can. Amen. So let's have a review here for just a minute. We know God is holy, number one. Now there's one here that I've got on mine that you don't have. God is holy. Or you might say He's the Holy One. Amen. Christ, number two, Christ is the High Priest. He's the one that makes intercession for us. Christ is the High Priest. Amen. Sin is defilement. No matter how you paint it, sin is that defiles. D-E-F-I-L-E-M-E-N-T. Sin is defilement. Amen. Now this one here you don't have, because I've actually got seven, you've only got six. Sin is defilement, But repentance is consciousness of defilement. Amen? Repentance is consciousness of defilement. C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S-N-E-S-S. Consciousness. Amen? Repentance is consciousness. When we realize that we've sinned, that we've been defiled, been made dirty, unclean. Amen? You know, when those leopards in Jesus' time was walking around, and when people would come around, and when they got near, they'd have to holler, unclean! Amen? What they were saying, I'm defiled, I'm dirty. Contagious, sick. That's what we are. We're defiled. Sin is a defilement. But repentance is consciousness of the defilement. When we realize that we're dirty. You can't get clean. Hey, listen. When I was a kid, I didn't go in and take a bath till I realized I was dirty. Amen. Mama said, you need to go take a bath. I said, well, I ain't that bad. We went barefoot when we was kids. I don't know about you. I mean, from the time we got out of school, we didn't put no shoes on till we got went and started to go back. And I'd come in at night, and my hand stuff might look all right, but you look at my little old feet, son, they're black as my shoes. My mother said, you ain't going on getting under my sheets like with feet like that. Said, you get in there and get your... See, I didn't realize my defilement had to be brought to my attention. And then when I got in there in that bathtub, praise God, and got the water running, Lord be God, the water was plumb grungy. Amen. Because the defilement started coming off. I realized then how dirty I really was. Amen. Praise the Lord. So repentance is a consciousness of defilement. Atonement is the power of the sacrifice. Amen. Atonement is the power of the sacrifice. Who was our atonement? The Lord Jesus Christ. Was He sufficient? Amen. Atonement is the power of the sacrifice for our salvation. In other words, He was the sufficiency. He's all we need. He was crucified. He died once for all. He shed His blood once for all. He's not ever going to do that again. It's done. He hung on the cross and He said, it is finished. Amen. The finished work of Calvary, praise God, was accomplished. It's done. Praise the Lord. Atonement, the power of the sacrifice. The Christian life is dedication on the altar. Remember we talked about that the other day? That dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 here, we see this. And He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But He says how we can, then He tells us how we can do it. He said, by not being conformed to the world. He said, don't think like the world. Amen? What you do, you take the knowledge of God. This blessed old Bible, and you put it in your head. Amen? And then you're not conformed by the world, you're conformed by God. You're transformed. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember, I preached a message one time a few years ago about taking a jackhammer. Remember I told you, take a jackhammer, like busting up concrete? That's what we got to do sometimes. We've got to take a jackhammer to our mind, praise God, and jackhammer all that old junk out. You do it by the Word of God. Son, this is the best jackhammer in the world, praise God, to get busted up things in your life and getting rid of them. Those things that'll defile, those things that'll hurt and tear down. Amen. It'll get rid of them. He said, by renewing your mind that you may prove what is it good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those things that's pleasing to God. It's a path of righteousness for His name's sake. So a Christian life is dedicated, is one that's dedicated on the altar. Amen, as we've already read. Amen. The perfection that we as Christians are looking for and trying to achieve is entire sanctification from sin and separation to God. Amen. So what we're trying to achieve is the entire sanctification, the entire separation from sin and separation to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, Sarah. Amen. So what God's telling us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He says that He said, wherefore come out from among them, those in the world, and be separate. We can't be like everybody in the world and be separate. That's why we're not supposed to defile ourselves with the world. Amen? We need to be telling these young people that you don't need to be following after these things that the world's doing. Amen? There was a fella the other day, bless his heart, and he thought he was doing good. I was talking to him while I was waiting to get some work done on Teresa's car, and he was talking about how fella told me, said, yes, sir, that boy's in church and he's working for the Lord and he's doing good things. And then he turned around and he said, yeah, look on the back of his arms. On the back of his arms, he had, on this arm he had Jesus, on this arm he had freak. And I'm like, praise the Lord, boy, this kid's in here, he's working with, you know, young people in church and being encouragement. And then he had Jesus freak tattooed on the back of his arms. I said, bless your heart, you just don't know no better. And he looked at me funny. I said, Bible said we're not supposed to put markings on our body. So we're supposed to come out from the world and be separate. He said, your body is a temple of God. And he'd never heard this before, you can tell. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, God, the Bible says your body's a temple of God. And I said, I love y'all, the only reason I'm telling you this. I said, do they put graffiti on your church house? He said, well, no. I said, well, your church house is just a place where we meet to worship God. Your body is the temple of God. Why are you putting graffiti on it? He had never thought about it. Nobody ever told him. I said, we shouldn't be leading people. The Bible says we're not to put markings on our Bible, on our bodies. Amen. Nobody ever told him. I took him to Leviticus and just showed him the verse. Said, the Bible says not to put markings on your body or even markings for the dead. You know, people now put big old things on in memory of such and such. I want nobody to put in memory of me on their body. Amen. They want to remember me, remember me praising my hand, saying, glory be to God. Tell somebody about it. Amen. But they just don't know. But that's why he said that we're supposed to be separate. Amen. Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Stay away from those unclean things, those things that's wrong. Those things that'll discredit God. Things that we don't need. Amen. You want to be different. You want to stand out, praise God. Just go bragging on Jesus. I guarantee you'll stand out in the crowd. Amen. Most people won't want to hear it, but praise God, you'll stand out. And we need to in these last days that we live. Amen. Sanctification, praise God, it's for, separation from sin and separation to God. These three blessings of grace are obtained by the atoning death of Christ Jesus our Lord. The virtues of that death are imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The virtues of the death of Christ are imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, He is our empowerment. I want to say there's power in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. When the Holy Ghost moves in, things happen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He was here Sunday morning, marching around, praise God, all over the place. Up and down the aisles and up and in and out of people's hearts, praise God. Glory to God. It is through Christ's atoning death and by virtue of His life-giving Spirit. Remember what Jesus told them? He said, it's needful that I go away. If I go away, He said, the Comforter will not come. Amen. But He said, if I go away, I will send you a Comforter, another Comforter, a Consoler. Amen. He said, what the Lord was telling some great news right there, and the disciples couldn't get a hold of it right then because they didn't understand. But He said, I'm going to go away. He said, I've been with you. I've walked here and I've walked yonder. Praise God. He said, I'm going to send you a Comforter through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who's going to be like a mighty and rushing wind, praise God. He's going to blow on all of you. And they ain't going to be nowhere, praise God, that He ain't going to be present. Amen. Praise God. But He, Lord went away and He sent His life-giving Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brooke, you want to read 2 Corinthians 5:21? Amen. Amen. For He hath made Him, God hath made Christ to be sin for us. Amen. God allowed sin before, allowed Christ before the foundation of the world to be that price of sin for us. The one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. Praise God. That is the fulfillment of the triangle, the justification, the regeneration, and the sanctifying power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He puts it all together. And if there's one piece of this that's missing, it ain't a triangle. If there's one part of that that's missing, praise God, there's not going to be that we need to get us to where we need to be with the Lord. Amen. To give us the hope and the help and the confidence that we need as God's children. Amen. Praise God. We need the foundation. We need the Christ in us, the hope of glory, to help us to be partakers of this, to get us salvation, to get us pointed and on our way to God's heaven. Amen. Where God the Father and God the Son are waiting for us, and one day will receive us unto themselves, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right. Do you understand salvation, the aspects of salvation? Amen. Is it clear to you? Is there any questions? You have any questions on it? Anything you would, when we was going through these, that you'd like to ask? You don't understand? You want it to be made clearer? Amen. Anything? Anybody? Questions? None? Did I do that good? Did God do that? I just give you His word. Did God do that good? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can build a foundation on these. These 10 lessons, amen, is sufficient, a foundation to get us where we need to be, and to take others there and establish them on the same foundation. Because God said there's no other foundation. Amen. There's no other foundation than Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the only one. So we can take our foundation that we've got in these last 10 weeks and help others to build on that foundation. Can you do that? Huh? Can you? Get these out, study them, look over them, read these verses. If you can get these verses that we've studied, a lot of them we've repeated. I purposely tried to have repetition where we repetit through repetition, you remember. And so if we can take these verses in these sheets, these 10 sheets I've given you, and just read them, study them, get them in your head, and you'll be able to take people, and show them what they need to be to have to be saved. Amen. You can go to John, praise God, and take them through the book of John and show them, praise God, that He is that door. Amen. And there's no other door throughout the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way in. Any way else is thieves and robbers. And you can walk them through and take these verses, praise God, and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That they might be saved. Praise God. We need to take our country back. And we take it back one soul at a time. Amen. It's time for God's people to stand up. And we're heading down a road. We've been heading down a road where we've become an ungodly people. Amen. And it's our fault. It's the church's fault because we just don't know. We haven't been instructing our people like we need to do. And pastors have to take full responsibility for that because it's our duty. We'll stand and give an account to God for that one day. But I want you to be able to know in order to be saved. Lead others unto salvation. Amen.